This is the Matt and Matt Show with Matt the Z-Man Zacho and Matt Kahan, a.k.a. Matty K, a podcast for the city's backyard. Finally, there's a podcast for New York City's backyard serving Westchester and Fairfield counties. Find out what's happening in and around your community. The Matt and Matt Show starts now. Welcome to the Matt and Matt Show. It's Matt Zacho, the Z-Man here, flying solo this week without Matty K. Matty K is on vacation, but he will be back next week. In the meantime, we've got some great people coming up on the show that we're going to talk to, a couple of restaurateurs that are still doing it during a pandemic, and we're also going to talk to the guys from the Reading Beer Company. So it's going to be a great episode. It's our monthly restaurant episode. We've got Clyde Ripka from Ripka's Beach Cafe coming up, and then we're going to talk to the guys from the Reading Beer Company, and then Brian Melcarney from Rory's Restaurant in Darien. We're going to find out how he's doing through all of this. As you know, we roll with the changes now with the rules of dining. So we'll talk to Clyde about the beach and the snack bar and all the great seafood that he has. That is on the way next. Keep it here.
Sign of the Whale is now open for indoor dining as well as outdoor seating on the biggest and best rooftop in Harbor Point, serving everything from fresh East Coast oysters, house-made pizzas, amazing burgers, and large plates. And of course, the Whale is still serving its signature cocktails, such as the famous Whaler Sangria, Moscow Mule, and the Whalerita. It's the perfect spot to take in this beautiful weather, offering takeout and delivery. For reservations, go to signofthewhaleCT.com.
The Matt and Matt Show remind you to support your local restaurants and cafes. Visit Rory's Restaurant, 416 Post Road in Darien. Rory's is where it's always delicious. Try their great selection of mouth-watering appetizers, hot and cold sandwiches, scrumptious entrees, and outrageous soups. Check out their menu at rorys.net or call 203-655-9453 for takeout or curbside pickup. Open 7 days.
Rory's has extended seating with their outdoor patio. Call for reservations.
The Matt and Matt Show, two guys keeping it local for the city's backyard.
We are back on the Matt and Matt Show. It's Matt Z with our next guest, Clyde Ripka from Ripka's Beach Cafe. Clyde, welcome back to the show. Just want to let you know right off the bat, you are a very important part of the community, and we appreciate everything. So how's it going?
Well, it's we're plugging along. It's going fine, I suppose. I mean, the rest of the country is not doing so well, but we're trying our best down here in Norwalk.
Yeah, the other beaches throughout America are getting overcrowded, and people aren't social distancing, and they're closing the beaches down in Florida, Texas. So how can we avoid that from happening in Norwalk, Connecticut?
Well, my understanding is that none of those states really believed in the social distancing. Well, I don't know that they didn't believe in social distancing, but they believed in business first and jumped into it without taking any precautions. There are a lot of mixed messages, and people didn't take it seriously in a lot of those areas. Up here, with such close proximity in New York City, which was just the major hotbed, we all had to pay attention very, very closely, quickly. And, there was lockdowns or whatever you might want to call it, but there were precautions taken early on. And, because of the close proximity, Connecticut, Massachusetts, we all worked at it quickly. The powers that be set the standards and we tried to conform into it.
Clyde, you do a great job. Your wife calls you the mad poster as far as, keeping people updated on Facebook, right? And, you're very involved in the community, and you've made a big difference at Calf Pasture Beach with Ripka's Beach Cafe. So, again, note that the citizens of Norwalk and the surrounding towns appreciate everything you do down there. So the fact that you are keeping people updated on Facebook and through social media is actually a good thing. So you have live music. one of the issues where people were dancing too close to each other. So where do we go from here to make sure that the live music continues at Ripka's under the tent and on the grass and around the area there?
Well, of course, the first band we had on a Friday was well attended, and everybody was very well spaced out. The seating in the tent area is restricted, so that was set up well. But then we had a few people that wanted to dance and a few more people, and I got pretty nervous about it. And we got through the night. People were out on the lawn. Everybody was perfectly socially distanced. We set up a dance floor outside and made sure that anybody that wanted to dance that were comfortable dancing were outside and not impinging on the people that were sitting in tables there. So, we had to reconstruct and rethink, and the band members were great because the band was really, this is some of the first gigs they've played in 4 or 5 months. So they were very happy to be there, and they were extremely cautious and kept on, putting the word out to just to make sure that we're responsible, no dancing in front of them. We have a good plan, and I think that everybody pretty much follows the rule. We get it. I think the community gets it. Everybody gets it. We want to be able to get out and listen to music and be socially active, but there are restrictions, and people have paid a lot of mind and given a lot of respect to that. And we want to continue it. So it's diligence. I feel like a bouncer here sometimes, walking around and telling people to stand 6 feet apart and families that are together, show the love, pull it together, stay away from these people. We're doing a lot of things, and it's like I'm walking all over this place. Just like I said, feel like a school hall monitor or bouncer. And we get, people get kicks out of me yelling at people and, people walking in with masks, and we're giving away masks. And it's mostly the younger kids that don't pay a lot of mind to it. Right. But it makes people nervous. And I had three kids walk in with their stinky t-shirts over their nose, and everybody else around them were wearing masks. And, I gave them masks, and the other people, said, thank you. It's just, I need to be militant about it, but I also need to be somewhat sensitive. And I don't know, it's really kind of screwed up. But
I have to laugh, Clyde, because if you weren't such a character, this wouldn't even be happening. But again, the community needs a guy like you who can, I guess, be the bouncer of his own place, because that's how you keep it running. And that's why, you update on Facebook. And if you were a wimpy guy, I don't think that we would even have the cafe open at this point, because rules would have been broken, because they're just simply people that don't get it. Like we said in the last interview, that, everybody has to obey the rules, because that one person can ruin it for everybody else. So the fact that your staff is doing a great job down there, I've eaten down there. I'm watching to see what's going on, because I know I'm going to put you back on the show and I have to comment on it. And the staff, you guys are doing a great job. So thumbs up, keep it up. But I do have to say, I think the Norwalk Police Department, they've done a good job policing to make sure the citizens get their parking inside the beach, and then the out-of-towners can park over at Shady Beach?
No, they can park at Taylor Farm. And the police are here just monitoring and making sure that, everything's in order as a normal thing. It's the parking authority that's responsible for the parking. So just to be clear, when if somebody gets a ticket, or it's not the police that are tagging the car, and they take the brunt of it because they're visible and they're up front. But it's the parking authority that takes care of that. And that's been very frustrating. I fielded more calls than you can imagine from non-residents, from people from all over the place that want to come in and eat. I have restricted amount of parking for non-residents behind my store here. But, it's a sad fact. They can't even come into the beach and pay for parking at this particular point. They have to go to Taylor Farm. Now, it's a nice walk if you're going to do that. But you know, we get a lot of elderly folk coming from Danbury and Westchester, and they can't take the walk. So we've pretty much nixed that out, and that's very unfortunate. And hopefully, you know, if we stay the course and everything remains the way it is, you know, the beach will be open for non-residents to come in and pay for parking and use the beach inside.
You do a great job boxing it up. I want to say I went down there with my daughter. We took my rag top down there, and we ate in the car, and it was great. I had the steak and cheese, Philadelphia steak and cheese sandwich. It was delicious. And the French fries are even better than before. So the to-go is very good as well.
Yeah, well, takeout is, we've had much more takeout and people calling in advance and doing pickups. It gets a little discombobulated here because people call and then they come in and, you know, it's the protocols and procedures for us taking orders and people walking in and managing that has been, it's been a bit of a challenge because, well, it's just been a challenge. But yeah, you can grab it, you can call, you can get an order, we can pick it up. You still have to wait in line, and we have the limited capacity coming into the building, but it moves pretty quickly. Our biggest challenge is, you know, when we're busy, we're taking food and we're telling people when you order, you got to leave the building, and
right,
we'll bring it out to you.
Yeah, and you do a good job of that. And I also want to mention, a lot of people are missing the bars. You know, there's no doubt about it that the bars are fun socially, especially in the summer when you can see live music in the bars. So we are limited now with no bars. You are one of the few places that serves drinks and has live music outside. So that's, again, that's something that, you know, we have to respect because we don't want that to end. And we've got, you know, a couple more months of summer here into September as well. And like you stay open through the fall. So you're again, you know, big hats off to doing the live music, right?
Well, I stay open year round, but it's, you know, it's a fine line. It's something that we need to do. I've got a finite amount of time to actually pull any revenue in, and we're at about 60% of what we normally do. So with less months to drive revenue, I mean, I do not want that to go away. And like, you know, I said before, I got to be pretty militant about people respecting the rules. But I think when you come down here during any music and you see the lawn laid out with blankets and people hanging out, it's really a cool feeling. And, you know, they get off the lawn, they're with their family, walk towards the cafe, they put their mask on, they walk through the crowd, they get to the line, they order their stuff, they come out, they take their mask off around their family and friends. I mean, they're doing it. We're doing
right.
It. And it could have been done in other areas, like in Florida, in Texas and stuff like that, if they had. It's, I don't know. It's not that they weren't aware of it. Maybe people didn't believe it. I don't get it.
I think one of the nice features of Calf Pasture Beach is that there is all that grass, especially in front of Ripka's, where you have the big, huge tent. And so we can really take advantage of the lawn there before you even get to the sand, you know? And so you can still be around the music, but you do not have to just be under the tent. So again, let's just stress that tent has to remain socially distanced, and people need to respect that so that we can keep the tent and Ripka's open and Norwalk's Calf Pasture Beach open for all the residents as well as non-residents. So we can all just have a great summer on the water here in coastal Connecticut, right?
No, yes, no question about it. You know, the tent usually has 15 tables in it that could seat up to 8 people. I mean, we have 8-9 tables. And yes, it just spreads out. Everybody just hangs out on the lawn. They bring their lawn chairs. Last Friday was amazing because we had community groups from Marvin Beach and all around, you know, that were all familiar with each other, just in little enclaves, you know, all around. It was like little communities around on the lawn. It was very, very cool. A lot of walking, a lot of running, a lot of yelling at people and, you know, putting people aside, but you know, you got to stick with it. It's like, it's a constant push. And, you know, I don't mind it. It's kind of funny. And yeah, like you said, I'm not a shy guy, and I'll get in your face and, you know, I'll kick you out if I need to. And I don't give a blind hoot. You know, it's about everybody else that comes in here, and they need to feel comfortable. I have some senior citizens walking in here, and you got a bunch of kids trying to push each other into the store. They're uncomfortable. And those are the people that I'm concerned about. You've got to pay respect to this environment. People walk in without a mask. I said, there's not a damn place in Norwalk, in the tri-state area, that you can't come in without a mask. What makes you think this is any different?
Yeah, they forget.
Really.
They forget.
Oh, I left my mask in the car.
Yeah.
Well, you know, crying out loud.
Put it in your pocket.
Just do it. Do it now for a while. We've proven that we can stem this and hold it off by doing the right things. And you got to do it.
Yeah.
And God forbid we have another uptick. I lived through this first one.
Right.
You know, with the shutdown. I'm not going to say I can't live through another one, but I don't want to go through that again.
Right. And that's why we wanted to really get you on the podcast. And you were so busy, you know, with the month of July that it was hard to track you down. Let's talk about your delicious menu and how many snack bars down at the beach have all that great seafood. So what do you have? You have shrimp and oysters, right?
No, we've got tons of oysters from right off our beach, Copps Island oysters. And we go through, you know, 500 oysters on a weekend. We've got belly clams, fried clam rolls. We hand bread our clam strips. I mean, lobster. We sell, you know, I sell 120 pounds worth of lobster meat and for lobster salad. I'm sorry, lobster rolls, you know, during the course of a week. And so that's our mainstay. But of course, you know, you got your typical concession food, which is hot dogs and burgers and soft serve ice cream and stuff. But, you know, we've got local kombucha brewery, East Coast kombucha, that, you know, we've got fabulous drinks with that. We put a little bit of a hibiscus kombucha with some coconut rum in there, and it's like summer all over again. So
yeah, the nice cold beers on tap, right?
Cold beers. We got salads, crab cakes, you know.
And you've got the surfboard. You've got the surfboards hanging in there for that nautical touch, right? That's your past life, sure. Out in Cali.
No, not in Cali, in Hawaii. But
Hawaii. Excuse me.
I grew up in the water surfing. So I mean, moved up here. I skateboarded and all that, so I can relate to the kids that are around here. And you know,
no, and again, it's great how you've decorated Ripka's Beach Cafe inside there, making it look very nautical and beachy. So any parting words? I know you got to get back to doing your thing for the community. What would you say as we go through the remaining months here in the summer to keep things open?
Well, just be smart. You know, you just got to pay attention, respect our rules, respect everybody else's spaces, and do the right thing, because we are doing the right thing, and we need to continue it. And it's kind of freaky that things are spiking in states that did not pay attention to it. So it's a really good lesson. It's a really good lesson for us to say, hey, you know, it was a pain in the ass for a few months, but guess what? We're here where we are because of it. And as much as I didn't like some of the rules, you know, the reality is it worked.
It worked.
And it will continue to work if we pay attention to it.
Right. Clyde Ripka from Ripka's Beach Cafe down at Calf Pasture Beach. Once again, big part of the community. We appreciate everything you're doing, Clyde, down there. We know you work really hard at everything. And even if you have to keep being a bouncer, you got to do what you got to do, brother. Thanks for coming on the Matt and Matt Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. You guys enjoy your weekend.
The Reading Beer Company is open for pickup, delivery, and enjoying a cold beer with the Phase 2 indoor opening this month and new updated pandemic hours. Check out a variety of all the usual suspects of independent craft beer, from the Connecticut Porter and East Coast IPA to great specials like German Kolsch, a light, fruity aroma with a delicate, bright, crisp finish. Oh, so drinkable. Open Friday 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., Saturday 2 to 10 p.m., and Sunday 2 to 7 p.m. Order online at readingbeer.com. The Reading Beer Company, 7 Main Street, Reading, Connecticut.
Planning a trip to visit family? Leaving your home increases your chances of getting and spreading COVID-19. If you must travel, follow the state or local guidance where you are, along your route, and at your destination. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
The Matt and Matt Show, bringing in the city's backyard to your speaker.
Welcome back to the Matt and Matt Show. It's Matt Zacho. We're talking to the owners of Redding Beer Company in Redding, Connecticut. It's Jim and Dave Balser. Jim Balser, how you doing? You're the dad.
Yes, I'm the dad, Matt. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be on the show.
So father and son, you both like beer. And how does this work out as the team, the family team of Redding Beer Company?
Well, it works out terrific. Dave and I started brewing together, home brewing in our kitchen, and it just grew out of that. And, I'm really lucky that I'm able to work with my son every day.
Yeah, that is great. Dave, how do you feel about working with dad?
Everyone asks me about it must be terrible working with your dad, but it's really not. I love working with him. He's the best boss I've ever had. And, it's a lot of fun. The most we really argue about is the different kind of hops we're going to put into a beer. So it works out great.
So you have an outdoor patio now that, the restrictions have been lifted. And also you're open inside with the bar and a place to sit and drink a beer, right?
Yes, we recently opened inside. Obviously, we're following the state of Connecticut's recommendations. But we are maintaining our outdoor, we kind of call it our beer parking lot. we've kind of transformed our parking lot into a little bit of a beer garden, putting out some games, classic brewery type games, and a nice outdoor place to sit.
I love that idea, Jim. I used to work at the beer garden in Valhalla, New York, right next to the Kensico Dam, which is no longer there. But they only served back in the day Pabst Blue Ribbon and Michelob. That was it.
Well, okay, I'm there. I hear you.
But the bikers, they had no choice, and they loved it because they would park their motorcycles, and it was almost like a scene in Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze with the chain link fence around the beer garden itself where they sat at the picnic tables.
Yep.
But
yep.
You know, as you drove by, you always felt like you were missing something because everybody just looked like they were having so much fun. And so those were good memories for me back in the day working at a beer garden. And I loved pouring the beer. So you guys love pouring the beer as well. Tell me about all the different brands. I just want to say I tried the East Coast IPA, right? That's what you guys gave me?
That's what we gave you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely delicious.
Well, thank you very much. All the beer that we serve here is made here. It's kind of odd because we're in a kind of a restaurant facility, not your typical brewery. We make a lot of different styles of beer. Depending, we have seasonals, we have specials, we have the usual suspects, and we like to say we have something for everybody. And if your favorite isn't here, there's going to be a new favorite.
Absolutely. You know, you have your website, readingbeer.com. So how's that working out? Are people stopping in? And for a while, curbside pickup was very popular. Obviously, now people are a little more relaxed about, getting closer to people as long as they're wearing masks. How is that going, the takeout?
It's going pretty well. There are some people, they, don't want to come in, and that's fine. They can go online. They could order beer for takeout or for curbside or even delivery. We do a limited delivery area for people who don't want to have that interaction due to the current the current problems we're having.
I love the website, Dave. Were you a part of that? Because you're the younger generation. I have my daughter help me with all the Instagram posts. Do you help Dad with kind of social media and that sort of thing, or he's pretty hip to it all?
I help with Instagram, but he did the website. He's pretty hip when it comes to website. Neither of us are good about Facebook, but we have help for that. But Instagram is generally speaking my domain.
What I love is how you said pandemic hours.
Yes, we cut back our hours with the with the pandemic, but we are starting to open those hours back up. We just recently opened up till our normal 10 o'clock closing on Friday and Saturday nights. We're looking for that crowd who kind of wants to hang out a little late and hang out at the tap room.
So let me ask you this. If somebody comes to Reading Beer and they're a beer drinker and the other person, say their spouse, only wants seltzer or something else, is there anything other than beer available?
Absolutely. We carry seltzer. We carry wine. We carry sodas so people who don't drink beer can come and enjoy it. Because not everyone, like you said, not everyone enjoys beer. So we want to have an open atmosphere for that. So we do have other choices.
Great. That is excellent news because, not everybody likes beer. But, if someone's coming to the Reading Beer Company, one of the two people have to like beer, obviously. And so if I was coming with my wife, that would be me. I would be the beer drinker. But all right, guys. So let's talk about some different flavors. Connecticut Porter, East Coast IPA. What else? So you have these specials too, right?
Yes, we do.
Why don't you tell me about them?
We do specials about once every 6 weeks or so, releasing new beers. And we'd like to do a lot of classic beers. I'll let Jim take over because he is the master guru of all things old and traditional with beer.
Well, thank you, Dave. We really do look at the historical beers as something that we're very, very interested in. David is instrumental in doing some of that research on these types of beers. For instance, you mentioned the Connecticut Porter. That's a beer that we looked at the history. We're history buffs. We looked at the history of the doings of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, and we found that the delegates were drinking a porter, which we thought was kind of interesting. You think of a porter generally as a colder weather kind of beer, and the convention was in the summertime, and it was hot. So we looked at this porter and we were able to kind of resurrect it from the tasting notes.
And then I had to do some historical research on figuring out what exactly ingredients they were using because we didn't really have a clue. It was English because, we were still English colonies basically, but we still had to figure out all of those ingredients and you can't just get that from the tasting notes like what Jim was talking about.
What I love is when I came up for the tour, you guys, there was this history. It was almost like a history lesson about beer. So, Jim, the customers that come into Reading Beer, can they get a little history lesson from, your bartenders on the beer that they're sampling?
Oh, absolutely, Matt. The servers are, continuous education for our servers about what we're doing so they can answer questions about the beers. As I said, some of these beers are they're lost beers. They were made and then they were gone, and people don't know they existed. But the servers are well versed in that, and it generates great conversation, great topics, and just leads to a more educated consumer.
How do you guys come up with the names of the beers? Do you guys make the names up yourselves?
Yes, we do. We are. We are not into a lot of the naming that's going on in the beer world. I would go into the liquor stores looking for a particular style of beer, but I was overwhelmed with the labeling on it. So we decided to make the names of our beers up front, that this is a porter, this is a wheat beer, or it's a red ale. So we do make up those names.
Yeah, they're great names. The logo is great. The beer is just awesome. And for those that are, in the craft beer world, would you say there's just too many different brands out there? I mean, is this like historical, the amount of beers that there are available in the world at this point?
Oh, most definitely. In the past 10 years or so, we've seen an explosion of breweries here in the United States. When we started our process, there were about 4,500 breweries in the States. Now there are over 7,000, and that's only in 3 years.
Wow, that's a lot of beer.
Here in the States, we're making a lot of great beer. There's no doubt about that. brewers are exploring all of the ingredients that go into beer and really pushing the limits of it. As I said, we're more traditional. Beer is made of four different ingredients. We explore all four of those ingredients. We don't limit ourselves to one or two ingredients when we're making our beer. We look at all the ingredients that we have available within those within the palette of ingredients that beer's made from.
If people want to find Reading beer in their local package store, how would they find out if, you know, that it's carried there?
Absolutely, Matt. The website has a page on where our beer can be found in both restaurants and in package and liquor stores. We're always expanding that footprint. So, you know, keep checking back there and you're going to find a liquor store or restaurant, hopefully in your neighborhood, where you'll see our beer.
I want to say to the both of you, you know, your attitude through this pandemic has been very positive. I mean, you know, this is tough. This is tough times for restaurants and, you know, beer companies, independent beer companies like yourselves. But, you know, you seem to have rallied through it. You turned your parking lot into a nice beer garden with picnic tables where people are socially distanced. And you're opening up the doors and the windows, letting the fresh air in. It's a cool little spot in Reading. So I just want to say I'm really excited that you guys came on the show. I mean, you know, I love talking about beer. I could keep going, but, you know, we don't have all the time to talk about all the different beers, but it is exciting stuff to, you know, beer connoisseurs. And I just want to thank you guys for coming out with such a great beer company locally here in Connecticut, right in Reading.
Well, thank you, Matt.
We're glad to be around. We're glad to be here. And hopefully we'll be around for a lot longer.
Thank you, guys. More to come on the Matt and Matt Show coming up next.
The Matt and Matt Show remind you to support your local restaurants and cafes. Visit Ripka's Beach Cafe, 99 Calf Pasture Beach Road, right on the beach in Norwalk. Ripka's has great food featuring hot dogs and burgers, salads, sandwiches, pizzas, clams, oysters, and more. Check out their menu at ripkasbeach.com.
Ripka's has plenty of seating with their outdoor huge tent now open.
Limiting face-to-face contact with others is the best way to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Social distancing, also called physical distancing, means keeping space between yourself and other people outside of your home. To practice social or physical distancing, stay at least 6 feet, about 2 arms length from other people. Limit close contact with others outside your household in indoor and outdoor spaces. Since people can spread the virus before they know they are sick, it is important to stay away from others when possible, even if you or they have no symptoms. Social distancing is especially important for people who are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. For more info, go to cdc.gov.
Listening to the Matt and Matt Show is safe. Thanks for listening. Be safe and listen to the Matt and Matt Show.
We are back on the Matt and Matt Show. It's Matt Zacho. Brian Malcarney is our next guest. He is from Rory's Restaurant in Darien. Brian, welcome back to the show. This is your second time on, and we appreciate you coming on and talking with us today.
Thanks very much. Let's hope I make the three as a charm.
I think you will, my man. And I just have to say, I have ordered takeout from Rory's. And it is delicious. It is hot. I mean, it is so hard to get hot takeout. And, you know, I'm going a few exits away down from Norwalk to Darien and back. And I get home and the food is piping hot. So you're putting it in these containers that are really keeping the heat in there. So I just wanted to say that right off the bat. It is so challenging for a lot of restaurants to have hot takeout, you know.
Yeah, awesome. I'm glad to hear that because, you know, the things I kind of focus on usually are the little hiccups that we have. I always dwell on that, not the 100 good dinners go out, but the one that maybe we didn't do perfectly. So it's always nice to hear, you know, positive feedback.
Yeah. So tell me, how is the outdoor dining going? You have your patio out there with umbrellas and how's that going so far?
The outdoor dining's going great. It's really starting to get a little momentum. We have people calling, making reservations. We have people just coming in. We have people calling, you know, hey, do you have a table in the next 5 minutes? Yeah, absolutely. Come on down. So it's been good. And it's nice to have, you know, people sitting outside feeding people. There's a little bit of normalcy to it, which is nice.
Yeah, you were real buttoned up with the whole CDC guidelines. You really knew your stuff, and I was impressed the last time that we talked. And you say that you take the temperature of your waitresses and waiters and bartenders. And of course, the bar is not open inside, but have you opened up the indoor seating yet or not really?
We are seating people indoors, but we've been trying to keep the majority of the people outside. We think it's safer. It's safer for my staff and they're a little more comfortable. At the same time, we have some customers that, you know, for health reasons, they need to be inside, and we're taking care of them as well. So we do have the seating inside, but we're encouraging people to sit outside whenever possible.
You know, that's great to hear, because the fact of the matter is it is really a lot safer to eat outside. So you're on board with that. You know, Rory's is a little small too, so there's only so many people that you can get inside, correct?
Yes, I believe we have 6 tables inside right now. So there's not a ton of room, but there's enough room. And, you know, we have some people. I have one customer who's a old school regular. He's in hospice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he can't sit outside in that heat. So he comes in and he gets his steak well done and he sits in a nice cool room. And it's great. You know, it's great to see the old regulars too. You know, it's good for all of us. Helps our mindset, because, you know, there's times where you can get down when you think about like all this stuff we've been going through for the last few months.
Yeah. The inside is air conditioned, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Especially during the summer and the heat. Now, how many tables are outside approximately?
We can seat about 20 to 30 people outside. It's mostly fours and tables of two.
How were you able to do that? You had enough property right on the side of the restaurant there?
What we ended up doing is closing off 2 parking spots. Then we put in some jersey barriers. I got some reclaimed wood, built flower boxes, put them on top of the jersey barriers. And we painted it like an aqua blue, like a pool. And we even have a little no diving sign.
That's awesome. I love it. You're right off the Post Road, 416, right? Post Road?
That's correct. Yep.
And tell me about some of your favorite dishes that are a big hit at Rory's.
Well, it's really kind of interesting because with the takeout, it's changed what people eat. You know, like right now, we're selling a ton of our taco salads. We have a pulled chicken risotto with poblano peppers that seems to be flying out the door. We also have it's called pasta mal carne after me. That's a sweet Italian sausage with some mushrooms and zucchini with a Parmesan cream sauce finished with a little fresh basil. That seems to be real popular. And right now the lobster's moving a lot too. Sometimes we do a hot buttered lobster roll, but the most popular is the lobster cob salad.
Yeah, last time we chatted, you weren't doing, you know, the patio wasn't open. It was about to open. And, you know, seafood we talked about doesn't travel well. But now you said your seafood purveyors are happy because your outdoor dining is going strong and you're selling more seafood.
Yes, for sure. You know, we're moving a fair amount of salmon. We've been running halibut as a special. That's been really popular. So yeah, it's a lot more seafood, but I tell you what, the weather changes and it rains one day and everyone starts doing takeout and, you know, it's back to the meat and potatoes that Rory's is known for.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say the food really is delicious, and there's a reason for that, because you said you cook it fresh.
Well, we cook it fresh, and also it's, you know, kind of a personal thing for me. I'm here every day. So I cook 5 days a week here, and the 2 days I'm off, I'm here as well. So you're always, you know, you always have your eyes on things. What's going in, what's going out, you know, who's making what, you taste stuff. Hey, this needs to be adjusted. You know, the seasoning's not right. So, you know, when you put in the time, it shows.
I'll tell you, one of my favorites, and I ordered it a couple times, the Debbie's chicken, which is what, a big cutlet?
Yes, the chicken cutlet. We bread it, and then we make a little lemon, white wine, and dill sauce.
Absolutely delicious, reasonably priced, and it comes with this rice with peas and carrots. It's just, or even you threw in asparagus one time. That was just the best asparagus I've ever had. I'm not kidding.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I took over the restaurant, they were buying all frozen vegetables. So since then, we've started using fresh vegetables and a lot of the stuff we cook to order. So the asparagus one of the reasons I'm sure it was so good is because we cooked it to order. You know, it was raw, went into the boiling water, got quickly poached, then tossed with a little salt, pepper, and a little butter, and, you know, into the to-go container it went.
Now, for those that are still, you know, quite paranoid about going inside, do you still do the curbside takeout?
We do. We do curbside. I have a lot of customers that actually, they'll call, they pop their trunk. We put the to-go order in their trunk. They push the button, close it up, and away they go.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm very impressed with the fact that, you know, you're on board with getting into the takeout game, because I think there's just not enough restaurants that are doing takeout great like you guys. And, you know, for the other restaurants out there that are listening, they should take tips from you to make it hot and fresh to go. And I really believe it's the containers you're using and the timing. I mean, you're timing everything perfectly. So you pull up, you may, like you said, you may wait 5 or 10 more minutes, but the couple times that I did take out there, I think I waited maybe 10 minutes. It came out fresh and hot, brought it home, 15 minute drive home, opened it up. And it was like I was almost eating in the restaurant itself, you know?
That's awesome. That's a very nice compliment. Thank you.
So as far as your waiters and waitresses, how are they adjusting to the changes? So the policy is you still have to come to the patio with a mask, and then you're allowed to take it off once you're seated, correct?
Yes. So guests show up with a mask. They are escorted to their table. Once they sit down, they can take their mask off, and they can leave it off for the entire meal. If they were to go to the bathroom or something, you know, then they're supposed to put their mask back on, do what they have to do, come back to the table, take the mask off. And then when they leave, they're also supposed to put their mask back on and wear their mask as they exit the patio and go out to their vehicle.
What are your busiest nights outside? You're open 7 days a week.
Yes, we're open 7 days a week. We do lunch as well. Normally we close for brunch on Sundays, but we decided this summer it was worthwhile to stay open, especially since we have the beautiful dining area outside. And so far it's been good.
And we talked about rain last time. So if it rains, you pretty much just switch it over to takeout, but you could still do inside seating. Of course, it's limited. So that's right. Why you encourage people to call before they come.
Yes. Well, part of the reason we encourage people to call also is to try to limit like a crowd, you know, being outside and, you know, try to stay in line with all the Connecticut guidelines. So, but we do have seating inside. So when people have reservations for outside and it starts to rain, we simply move them inside.
I want to mention that maybe next month you may be expanding, and we're not going to give anything away, but there are good things to come to the Norwalk area, and we can get into that next time you're back. But any other things you want to add about Rory's? I mean, it's been around a long time. You've owned it for what, like 15 years now?
It's closer to 13, but yeah, it feels like 20. But no, things are good. You know, I'll be completely honest. You know, it's still a learning thing for us too here at Rory's. You know, my bartenders are doing takeout. They're not pouring drinks. So They're trying to get the swing of how things are going. It's a lot more phone work and speaking with customers on the phone. And it's interesting too, because, you know, you get a lot of people that haven't been out. And so they call in their takeout order, but they want to talk too. So it's difficult for us to, you know, give them that outlet, that little bit of social interaction, and at the same time, try to keep our business moving and, you know, getting all the orders in and getting the food out. So it's been interesting. It's been a challenge.
Yeah, moving and grooving. And they do say, you know, you want to keep the talking limited because it does spread germs. Of course, you know, even if the mask is on, it's not 100% proof. But yeah, all those little things make a difference. And just you as a restaurateur and chef, and a great chef, I might add, because I mean, the proof is in the food. It is absolutely delicious. And I'm not just saying that to butter up to you, but I literally mean that Rory's has excellent food. So I encourage anybody to try it. And you've got reasonably priced, you know, entrees for being a restaurant in Darien. You're right in line with people that can afford to eat. You know, you're not just appealing to just the Darien crowd. It's, you know, you can get the Norwalk people, Stamford, and You're right in the middle of just regular old towns, right?
Yes. I like the way we're priced. I think we're really competitively priced, and I think it's really fair. I always loved restaurants that you went to where you always felt like you got what you paid for. And I feel like Rory's is right there, that, you know, it's not on the cheap side, but at the same time, you know, that Debbie's Chicken, it's a great piece of chicken and it's reasonably priced.
Yeah. And are you still doing a lot of chili takeout, or that's kind of calmed down with the hot weather?
The chili's gone down a little with the heat, but it's still very popular. So.
And travels well.
Funny. Yeah. It sure does. Yeah, that melted cheddar on top. I love it.
Well, you're the best, brother. I appreciate you coming on the Matt and Matt Show. Rory's.net for the menu. You're right on the Post Road in Darien. Easy in, easy out. You, like you said, you can pop the trunk and your staff will just throw it in there and you're good to go. So, you know, if you're afraid of any sort of contact, you guys can be contactless. And like you said, they're doing a lot of phone work. So, there's many options now at Rory's. So I'm glad to hear that things are going smoothly and, you really are a pro. So Brian Melcarney from Rory's, thanks so much for coming on the Matt and Matt Show.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Matt. And we got to get you down here on the patio.
Absolutely. We'll be back with more coming up next.
The Matt and Matt Show remind you to support your local businesses. Rory's Restaurant on the Post Road in Darien. Rory's.net for their menu. Ripka's Beach Cafe at the beach in Norwalk. Ripka'sBeach.com. Accurate Auto Repair. AccurateAutoNorwalk.com. Sign of the Whale, Stamford, where their rooftop is now open. SignOfTheWhaleCT.com. Reading Beer Company, 7 Main Street, Reading. ReadingBeer.com to order online. Thanks for supporting your local businesses. Matt and Matt, thank you for listening. Tell your friends about the Matt and Matt Show, a podcast for the city's backyard.
Welcome back. We are the Matt and Matt Show. Matt Zacho, flying solo. Want to thank our guests for coming on the show. Clyde Ripka from Ripka's Beach Cafe, right overlooking the pier at Calf Pasture Beach in Norwalk. Clyde, keep doing what you're doing. Great job at the beach. Everybody listen to Clyde so the beaches can stay open in Connecticut. And also a big thanks to the guys at Reading Beer Company, Jim and Dave Balser. Those guys were awesome. Loved the history lesson on how to make beer. And I never knew so much history was involved in making beer. It's very cool stuff. And of course, we got to thank Rory's, Brian Melcarney, one of the best chefs around, no doubt about it. He's got some exciting news next month, so he will be back on the show, and we're looking forward to that. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Matty K is back next week. Have a safe July, and we'll talk to you real soon. Next week, we're going to be talking to Westchester County Executive George Latimer, and we're also going to talk to Connecticut Senator Bob Duff. So that is coming up next week on the Matt and Matt Show. Be safe. Wear those masks when you need to. Have a good one.
That's it for the Matt and Matt Show, a podcast for the city's backyard. Thanks for listening. Back before you know it with more interesting and fun conversation about what's happening in your community. Give us a like, tell your friends, and share the Matt and Matt Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's all for now. More to come soon.
Make sure you follow The Matt and Matt Show on Facebook and Instagram at The Matt and Matt Show.
The opinions expressed by the guests are not necessarily those of the hosts of The Matt and Matt Show or its advertisers. The Matt and Matt Show tapes once a week, and the information is related to the time of the taping. If you have any questions or comments for The Matt and Matt Show, please email us at mattzako@hotmail.com. That's MATTZAKO@hotmail.com. Thank you for listening.